AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's up, guys? Hi, welcome. I'm George Massey. Welcome to the George Massey Show. Kara and I are going to talk to you guys and recap all the shows that we watched over the last couple days. So Happily Ever After, probably The Other Way, Seeking Sister Wife, all of the stuff that's been happening. We're going to do a little live recap. We didn't do one yesterday. There wasn't a whole lot of content that happened on Happily Ever After. Ooh, Kara's here. Few things that I kind of want to talk about on Happily Ever After with Kara, but not a lot. Hi, Jal. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you guys have had a wonderful weekend. Howdy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So, yeah, yesterday's show, Happily Ever After, was a little underwhelming, right? Like, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. There's, like, a couple things that I want to talk about, but, like, there's going to be a lot to discuss. So Matt and Jasmine went to their ultrasound, which we already knew that it was a girl because we already knew like 6-7 months ago when she was born. But he gave her a hard time about having a girl as though it's a woman's fault. Like what the sex of the baby is, because I think doctors and science have proven if you have a girl, it's the man's fault. And
all of this is Matt's fault.
Well, yeah, that is actually very accurate. This is all his fault. And, you know, the fact that he got upset with her, you know, I don't really side with Jasmine or whatever. But, you know, it was kind of stupid of him to be like, oh, well, you know, you can't pout. You know, if you're old enough to make a baby, you have to be old enough to accept that it might not be the sex that you want. Right.
Right.
You can't pout about it and cry and act like this is everybody's fault but your own, and the world is up against you. So, but yeah, like you said, I don't feel bad for either one of them. They're both grown adults and they both knew what they were getting into. But, you know, a lot of people were coming down on him yesterday. They were like, oh, well, I hope that the internet attacks him the way that they attacked Jasmine, because that was rude or whatever. And I was like, I'm not telling anybody to go after anybody, but, you know, I do feel like being upset with a woman because of the gender of your baby is not only stupid, but it's ignorant, because the gender, you decided the gender of the baby, you know, whether it was conscious or not, your body decided. But I don't know if he knows that. I don't know how intelligent he is just by looking. So I don't know if he's aware of that, but yeah, so.
You know, aside from everything else, can we talk about vegan Jasmine pounding 12 pounds of ribs? If that was the first time she ate meat, she would be so sick.
Well, that's what a lot of people online were saying. They said, if you've been off of meat, I think she said she was a vegan for 8 years, right? So
yeah.
If you've been off of meat for 8 years, they said that it would destroy your stomach and you would literally be attached to the toilet for like a few days. So a lot of people said that she's been eating meat. And, you know, I don't know her life or whatever. She did practice veganism a lot, you know, when she first came to the show.
She's posting videos of her cooking, which is horrific, because she tries to talk in this slow, sultry voice, which I glance at these things on mute because I can't. But she's cooking steaks and stuff all the time now. So
for real? Because, you know, she got me blocked, so I can't see.
Yeah,
so it's
stuff now.
Oh, so she's just eating meat now. Like, this is just what she does. And I mean, she said, like, oh, well, I'm doing this for the baby. But I was like, there's no proven science that shows that a woman has to eat meat while she's pregnant. Because, you know, going back to, like, the beginning of time, like the Garden of Eden type time, you know, we weren't eating meat. People were giving birth to children and living perfectly healthy without eating meat. We were all vegetarian. I don't want to say we. They were all vegetarians, right? They weren't eating meat. They weren't killing animals. Animals and people all lived together in harmony.
Also, I don't care how long you've been a vegan and how long you've pretended like you didn't eat meat. If you're going to eat meat for the first time in 8 years, you're not going to start with cold ribs out of a cooler. You're just not. You're going to start with fat, juicy steak.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that this is just like a testament to how fake she is.
Oh my gosh, so much.
And how she says one thing and does another. And they were like, this is just a clear, you know, a transparent perception of how she says that she's one thing and does something else, right? Yeah. Like when she went into the ultrasound place, she was like, oh, Gino, that's my husband's name. And I was like, that's not your husband. Because if that was your husband, you wouldn't be here having a baby with this guy.
Right.
That, I mean, legally on paper, but she does that. She's like, oh, I feel bad for Gino. And I was like, well, if you felt bad for him, you wouldn't be pregnant right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like your actions have to match your words. Otherwise, you're delusional, right? Because you can say one thing and do something completely different. I think that's how they define insanity, right? Like, because if you believe, if you say one thing and do something completely different, that just shows that your mind isn't communicating with you. You know, like your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, Matt said the baby being a girl is an obstacle. There's so many things, like, we could talk all night about this shit show of Matt and Jasmine. And I just, the secondhand embarrassment, her crocheted, whatever she was wearing. What even was that? Also, who puts their barrettes right here? Like, she is not, there's something seriously wrong in her brain.
Well, yes. Well, based on all of the things that she does. Oh, I want to bring up to you, because I don't know if you saw it. You probably did. She was upset and she went online crying because she felt that people were sabotaging her baby in a contest, a beautiful baby or baby of the year contest, where she was trying to win $25,000. And she was crying because she said that she didn't want people to attack her baby because her baby is innocent. And I was like, well, one of the comments underneath it said, your baby won't know if they won or lost the contest because your baby didn't enter the contest and they don't even know what a contest is. You just want money, right? Yeah. Like, let's just be real. Let's be real with what this is. You're upset because you're trying to scam your way into $25,000 in a contest by using your followers to unfairly give you an advantage in a contest that a normal person should be able to win. And I was going through the entries and I came across an entry of a lady who's $100,000 in debt from IVF because she wanted a baby so bad. And she finally gave birth to this baby, this beautiful baby, and now she entered the baby in the contest. And I was like, see, that's the type of person that I want to win. She didn't cheat on her husband to get a baby. She didn't, like, this person literally went through the correct steps. They weren't able to have a baby on their own. They see the baby as a blessing, not a payday.
Yep, she didn't have her other two children. She did. There's so many things. Also, that lady probably doesn't want her kid to have surgery when they're 10 or 15 or whatever the legal age is.
Yeah, apparently there's no legal age because we were looking into this. And as long as a parent or guardian will sign something, there's no legal age. And I think that's what's really scary. Yeah. Because children's brains are not developed. It's actually been proven that men's brains aren't developed until they're like 25. So, like, there's no reason why a 10, 15, 16-year-old should be doing anything to change their bodies. And if you, as a parent, think it's okay, because, you know, it started with the tattoo thing, right? Yeah. Parents are like, oh, they just want a tattoo. I'm going to sign the paper. It's fine. That's where it started. And then, you know, it's always a slippery slope into a really bad place. So now parents are like, oh, well, they want to start Botox. You don't need Botox at 17. You look your best at 17, so there's no reason why you should be sticking needles in your face at 17. This is a bad, slippery slope habit that you're getting into, and parents are the reason why this is getting out of control, because parents want to be friends to their children instead of a parent. One thing about my mom, she was never my friend. Not until I became a grown adult, and then we became friends. When I was a child, all of the decisions that she made were for my best interest and well-being, and whether or not it pissed me off or not meant zero to her. And I respect that, because as a parent, that was her job. It wasn't supposed to make me happy. It was supposed to keep me alive and to keep me making good decisions. So that's something that really rubbed me the wrong way. She's like, oh, I'll let her change whatever she wants to change whenever she's ready. And I was like, see, that's the problem. The reason why your child...
It would be so heartbreaking to me if at any age my daughter came and wanted to alter her appearance. I mean, as an adult, tattoos, piercings, whatever she's going to do, she's going to do. But if she wants to change her face, change her body, that makes me so sad because she's such a beautiful human being that I can't imagine wanting to change anything about her. So that hurts my heart if my daughter wants to do that. And Jasmine's already wanting to alter her baby, and the baby wasn't even born.
Didn't even, right. And it just shows that it's a cycle, right? Because let's be honest, Jasmine was never an ugly woman. Like, let's just be honest, she wasn't. She was never ugly. Her personality, her personality is different than her physical appearance. She's never been ugly. She's always been pretty. She's never needed to change anything, but she did. And I think her even considering encouraging her daughter to follow down that road shows that there's a cycle that needs to be broken. Because if your daughter comes to you, I just keep saying daughter, it could be a son. If your child comes to you and they say that they don't like something about themselves, that's a conversation that you need to have to teach them there's nothing wrong with you. And changing yourself isn't going to make you feel differently, because a lot of times this stuff is coming from in here, not a physical thing. And that's a conversation where you would encourage your child, you know, you got to learn to love even your flaws, you know, because even if you go and take this nose and get a new nose, it's not going to make your mind love your face, right? Like, you have to learn to love everything.
Because now your nose doesn't match your eyes, and your eyes aren't level with your ears, and now your forehead has wrinkles, and your hair's not long enough, or your hair's too short, or your hair's too thin, or now you got neck flab, and then your boobs aren't right, and then your belly's not right. It's a vicious cycle. I get body dysmorphia. I get that that's a horrible thing. But when you do it for attention, that's different.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Just like the Darcy and Stacey thing. That's beyond body dysmorphia.
Yeah, once it gets out of control, it's like an epidemic, right? Like, it's unstoppable. There's no reasoning. There's nothing that you can do to stop it. And I think for someone to say that they would help their child go down that road, that's a scary thought. It's a super scary thought, because as a parent, the first thing you would do is say, well, I don't want you to do what I did. I want you to do better, right? And so the idea that she even said that pissed me off. All right, let's move on, because I want to talk about the other way too. Yeah. So Jenny and Submit were looking at equipment for the cafe, which all of this shit looked way too big to fit in that little closet, first of all. But that wasn't even the issue, Carl. The stuff looked like it was in an abandoned building that might have had rats. So what's happening? If you eat at this cafe, will you die? Like, I have so many questions.
And then he said, when Jenny's like, it looks like a dump in here. Oh, all you Americans think everything looks like a dump. Well, that is a dump, sir. That is a whole dump.
That was a dump. Now, in his defense, we saw how Jenny kept their first apartment. It was dirty. But in Jenny's defense, it was never that dirty. That looked like an abandoned space that you find behind, like, you know, when they padlock and they gate up an abandoned area, then you're not allowed in there. That's what it looked like. It looked like it was a murder happened in there months ago, and they locked it up to the public and nobody was allowed in.
So in Jenny's first apartment, I don't think it was dirty. I think it was cluttered.
Right.
I mean,
we found out that she was a hotel cleaner as her job. So Jenny knows how to clean, right? Because when you work at that type of job, you have to clean like so many rooms in a short amount of time. So yeah, she just kept shit everywhere. It wasn't filthy. But also,
with that being your job, the last thing you want to do is come home and clean. But also, the last thing you want to do for the rest of your life is clean every day. I don't know about you, but after waiting tables in a restaurant, the last thing I want to do is bring food into people. No, bring me stuff. Flip the tables.
I agree. Also, the guy, Renit, I can't remember his name. He is the guy that I remember him actually from their Diaries episode that Submit worked with. So apparently he has a grudge. It's so funny because they get along still, but he has a grudge because he feels like their business failed because of Submit. And well, more so because of Jenny. Because she wouldn't let him work the hours needed to make it a success. So he's holding a grudge, and then Submit's like, oh, well, you should give me this equipment. And he was like, I ain't giving you nothing. And then he was like, well, you should give it to me on credit. And I was like, he only asked $400 or $500 for the equipment. Right? Like, just buy it. Because you shouldn't, like, the amount of debt you go in before the doors even open should be kept to a minimal, right?
And because you just made that much money just on the first 15 minutes of this episode. Just buy the shit.
Well, right, because when you buy it, it needs to be, like, hosed down and then maybe put in, like, one of, you know, when they tent a house, they tent it because, like, it needs to be tented for a while just to make sure anything living in it dies, right? Because I'm very nervous. Also, we don't even know if it works. They didn't plug it in.
But so also, there was his grudge about Sumit not working the hours he wanted him to work, he wanted him to work 7 days a week.
What he said that. Is
gonna go, yeah, that's a good idea. You should work every single day.
Well, if you think about it, though, this business that they're opening, he's going to work 7 days a week.
Right. But I'm not going to work 7 days a week for someone else.
If
I have to as the owner.
You're right. If as the owner, you're willing to do a little bit more because it's yours. Yeah. You know, when you're an employee and somebody else is benefiting from your hard work, you do look at it like, well, I'm not going to be here 12 hours a day.
No way. I'm not doing it 7 days a week for anybody.
I don't think that this business is gonna make it. And I'm worried because it might not be a storyline. This might actually be like their real well-being, which bothers me. Because at the end of the day, I do love them both. I think that they're decent human beings. So I'm a little bit worried because I was like, what's going to happen to them if they can't afford to live? Because I'm sure Jenny and his mom are going to clash to the point where she can't stay there, right?
Absolutely.
It's only a matter of time. And it's a rare occurrence where a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law love each other to the point where you can be in each other's presence 24-7. Thanksgiving, right. Christmas, Easter, that's one thing. But 24-7 and sharing a bathroom, that's fighting words, right? Yeah. For the wrong parent, that's fighting.
Especially with siblings and other in-laws. I mean, it's a house full of people and it's a small space.
Yeah, I've seen the house. It's a disaster, but we're watching it unfold, and you know I like a good train wreck, so I'm waiting to see them try to actually fit the equipment in the cafe. That's gonna be my favorite part because I don't think any of it fit. Because I was just like, I get that you need the equipment, but it's not gonna actually fit in there. And if it does, where are you gonna go?
But also, you don't even have running water. How are you gonna hose the shit off?
Oh, you're not. You're not. So I guess you take it out into the, I think they said they're going to take the dishes out into the town fountain or the town. There's just a lot, Cara. I'm just going to be real with you. I wouldn't eat at this cafe because I think you would get some sort of flesh eating Ebola or whatever. Like, I'm just being honest, but you know, to each their own, hopefully somebody eats their. Oh, speaking of water. So Chloe got over to Johnny's house and Johnny didn't install the hot water. Because he said it could be up to $100. And I was like, y'all have a really big income discrepancy because to Chloe, $100 is not that much money. But apparently to Johnny, $100 is like an unfathomable amount. So I think that they're going to have...
Spoiled. She's spoiled because she likes hot water?
Yeah, so that was the thing. He kept saying that she's used to luxurious lifestyle. And I was like, well, I'm thinking back to her scenes when I saw her at her house with her mom. And I was like, I don't remember anything outrageous.
Yeah,
right? Me either. Like, I remember when Tiger Lily came on the show, her first scene was her going to buy like a $30,000 watch, which she didn't even actually buy. And she was driving her leased Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. You know,
yeah, so I don't remember her showing me or anyone anything outrageously luxurious that makes her a spoiled brat. Like, she comes across as a spoiled brat, but I don't think that she's one of those people who...
She just comes across as a very immature
child. Yeah, like a kid, right?
Very, very much.
Like a kid, and if she doesn't get her way, she might throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
But hot water, though, that's not really a luxury. Like,
not asking too much.
If all she... When she got there and she saw the room, because, Carl, when I saw the room, it was a mess. Uh-huh. Right? It was small. The dresser was broken. There wasn't anywhere to walk. It looked like a disaster. And the only thing she said was an issue, there was no closet space and there was no hot water. And I was like, that's very, very reasonable because I would have said a lot more. Right?
Right.
I would have been like, well, where's the rest of it? Because I can't live in this small space. You know, like there's a million different things that I would have said. And all she said was, I'll pay for the hot water and I need more space for my clothes. That's pretty reasonable. Like, if that's the only thing a girl is requesting, he hit the jackpot, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Turn that damn water on, find her silk pillowcase, shut your mouth and let her get some sleep.
Right. A pillowcase. Remember when Sophie said she needed a duvet? She was like, and that wasn't even bad because she moved into his house and it didn't even have a bathroom indoors and the refrigerator was next to the bed. There's a whole bunch of issues. And she was just like, I'm going to need a duvet. And I was like, see, she's not even asking for that much. She just wants a blanket. Right. Yeah. Like when you find a woman that's willing to look past all of these issues and just say she needs one simple thing, go to the damn store and buy it because
also,
you're like,
I don't care where you go as a woman or a man. If you go to a different country, odds are there's going to be something there that you need and don't have. So you're going to request. If I went to Florida, there's going to be something I need that you don't have. Hey, George, do you have a bathrobe I can throw on? You're like, oh, sorry, I'm fresh out of women's bathrobes. Okay, well, I'm going to go buy one, but that doesn't make me a spoiled brat. It's just something I need.
See, I don't understand.
George, do you have a hair dryer?
I don't.
Nope. No. But I need one.
Yeah, so I don't understand their dynamic because he gets a lot of tail at work and I don't see the positives or the pros of him having a girlfriend because in my opinion, his life was perfectly fine. It was kind of like how his life was before he met Jessica. It was perfectly fine.
But also, did you see all this stuff all over Instagram that we've seen him before?
Yeah, he was Tanya's friend. On her single life, right? Yeah. And apparently she went to a house party at Johnny's house on that show and it was like a waterfront property. Yeah. So what I'm thinking, my theory, because remember he said that he had a girlfriend that he was living with before that was cheating on him. I think that was her house. And she was loaded. So it might be a pattern that Johnny likes girls that have a lot of money. It could be a pattern. Because I was looking for that house. I remember because, you know, the internet sleuths, they pulled up the pictures. I saw it was this beautiful waterfront property. It had a game room. It had a pool table. It had a bar. It had everything you would need to be bougie. So when she pulls up to his house, I'm looking for this waterfront property and I don't see it. And I was like, huh. Yep. Either that was an Airbnb or he found him a rich girl in Aruba. And now he found him a rich girl now that he's moving in. So I was like, it could be a pattern. I don't want to judge him too quickly. I don't know.
I've been judging him from the jump, dude. There's no backing up.
He was humanized for me tonight, though, when he talked about his mom and what that was like.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
was sad and very heartfelt and everything else. But watching all the clips leading up to where he works and how he lives and all this stuff, then he's got this 23-year-old from America that he thinks is spoiled because she wants hot water. Like, I can't help but judge him. I mean, I'm not saying any of us are millionaires and we're all living the life. But come on, that's a pretty simple request. Like,
she did ask for it before she got there. And, you know, I yelled at Rob too, because I was like, Rob, there's a lot that you could have done. A lot of the guys, they'll know the woman is coming and she'll make requests. And then you wait till she gets here and you didn't do anything to prepare for her coming. And I was like, you could have done bare minimal, right? She asked you to get water done. She even said she will pay for it. All she asked you was have it done for when I get there so I can take a warm shower, which isn't asking a lot. Because he's like, oh, the temperature's hot all the time. It's hot here too. But I'm going to need my hot water though. Like, I don't take cold showers. Like, it doesn't really matter
the
temperature is.
These women put in these small, what we think is small requests, and it doesn't happen. Just like Greta and Matthew. All Greta wants is for him to find them a place that's not his parents' house. And he hasn't looked because, you know, I'm busy.
Well, he hasn't looked because his mom's house is cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's very obvious. And I think what really bothers me the most is when I saw her tonight with Hazel, her cat. And she was like, oh, I love this cat more than I love him. And I was like, no, you don't. Because if you did, you would have brought that cat with you. First of all, you would have made him get his own place. Because the only reason why she's not bringing a cat is because his mom already has a cat and a dog and they don't know that the animals will mesh well. So I was like, if you love this cat, you would have forced him to get another place that you could have brought that cat to. So you don't love the cat as much as you say you do. I'm not saying you don't love it, but not as much as you say you do. right? Because you leaving it, not just leaving it, you're rehoming it. You're but giving also, it to somebody else.
Like, what in your mind says when, okay, so the love of your life is moving to your country. All you have to do is locate an apartment for you guys to live in, move out of your parents' house, pretty standard. But what in your right mind makes you sit there and say, I'm so stressed about you coming. I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm so stressed. He said that over and over and over again. How does that make her feel, A, and B, what the hell do you think she's going through? She's got to rehome her cat, give up her place, pack all of her shit, and move to another country, and you're so stressed?
Oh, and you forgot, give up her career.
Literally.
Because she can't practice law over there, and she went to school for it. So, yeah, I noticed that, too. He made it seem like she was such a burden.
Yeah.
I was like, if she's such a burden, why'd you get down on one knee and interrupt her life? She didn't ask for any of this. You decided one day to get on one knee and say, hey, will you uproot everything that you love for me? And she said yes, right? Like, because I say that all the time. Like, why do men do that? Why do they take a woman who's doing perfectly fine and living her best life and uproot her life, get on one knee, ask her to marry, and then act like they're the burden? You didn't have to marry her. You didn't have to ask her to come and be a part of your life. You could have let her live the life that she has. She was perfectly fine without you. She was getting things done, and every day was fine the way it was. And it's like, making her feel like a burden is not going to help the situation. And it's like, what's the burden? You live with your mom. You don't have any bills. She asked you to do one thing, and that's a problem. So I can already tell that this isn't going to work out. Right? Yeah, he's going to get over there, and he's not going to, he's a mom. I don't know if he's a mom as well. They haven't really shown his mom, but it kind of seems like he doesn't do anything. So I'm like, somebody has to be doing things for him, right?
Now when she comes back, she's not even going to have her cat.
Well, hopefully she rehomes it to like a bestie or a family member or whatever. But I don't even know. Like, if it was me, I wouldn't even give it back to you because you shouldn't have left it in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the whole purpose of rehoming, is to make sure that that animal is never abandoned. Right. Yep. So you find, if you ever need to find a home for an animal, it should be a forever home. And if it needs to be rehomed, it only should be rehomed one time in its entire life. Well, technically zero. But if something happens, one time is the only acceptable number of times that that animal needs to learn a new human and a new way of life. So if she comes back, I probably would be like, well, nah, because you're not stable, because you gave her up once. You might give her up again. So no, just like a child, if you go to the judge and you try to get custody of the child's be like, you signed your rights away, so there ain't no way I'm gonna give them back, right? Like, there ain't no way. You're not stable enough for this child, so you can go back to where you came from, and this child is gonna stay where it is, and that's the same for the animal.
Yeah, you know my love for animals, which is why I have a small zoo.
Well,
that literally breaks my heart.
It just, I think that's what bothers me the most. Like, I get being in love, and I get wanting, you know, what you want, but when it affects people, like children or animals, you know, that it kind of, it bothers me a little bit what people's priorities are, you know, because we watch people leave their children behind, you know, and that's I don't want to say a whole nother thing, because animals and children are I don't want to say children are animals, but they're pretty equal when it comes to love.
Man.
Right? Like, they're pretty equal.
I mean, like, I love all of my animals so much. I mean, they're all my kids, all of them.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know. When I think that compromise is one thing, but leaving people or animals behind, especially an animal that's been with you its whole life, that animal has been with us since birth. It doesn't know anybody else. It doesn't know another way of life. And, you know, just like it's hard for a child to go from going to one school and having a two set of parents in the house or whatever and changing everything they know, that's emotionally damaging. Yeah. Whether you want to believe it or not, animals have emotions too. It's emotionally damaging to the animal. So, I'm not rooting for them, if that's okay. Like, honestly, I'm not. I don't think that they actually will make it anyway, but I'm not rooting for them because I'm kind of just rooting for Hazel at this point.
Yeah.
I just want the cat to be happy. Yeah. Also, so Manon has made it into France, and she brought her husband with him after he said that she was not a good, well, she was not a full-time mom.
He is such an asshole. I can't stand this guy. I cannot stand.
I feel like he's kind of a dick, and I don't understand why, because she's given him like the perfect life. Like, he never has to work. He only has to take care of his son, which is his. Like, that's not, it's not babysitting if it's yours, right?
Right.
Like, it's not like, because he's making it seem like I'm a full-time babysitter now. Well, you're not a babysitter because it's your kid. You're just a kid. And a lot of relationships, it's one person who takes up the slack of raising the child. That's like a normal situation. Like, not every family gets to co-parent the exact same amount each day, because sometimes jobs where it happens, the mom works more, the dad works more, however it works, you're still a team. And you don't get to say, oh, well, your dad doesn't love you because he's not here, or your mom doesn't love you because she's not here, because love is not measured in time. Sometimes it's measured in mortgage payments that are made on time.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you can't love your child if you have nowhere to live, because the state will take it from you.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, sometimes your time has to be dedicated to making sure that child has everything that it needs. And that comment that he made, I was like, that was so off the wall and underhanded. I was like, now I don't think I can respect him, right?
But like I said before, if, God forbid, any little things happen to her, where she needed surgery and she's laid up for 3 months, 6 months, whatever, he's going to have to get off his ass and work.
I don't understand why the only option when she got pregnant was he had to stay home. Because do you remember the scene where she kicked Sarah out of the house? His entire family showed up. His mom, his sister, his sister's husband, his brother. I was like, there's all these local family members. The only option was to stay home and take care of your kid. None of these people could have been childcare for you so you could get a job and work. Because, you know, when I first started working, when I had a smaller kid, my mom was... she helped. She couldn't watch. Yeah. She couldn't be a full-time daycare, but whenever she could, and it saved me a ton of money, so I didn't have to use the daycare every day, right? Yeah. There were a couple days a week that she could do it. So I was like, all of these people that showed up when you wanted to tell them you were moving, none of these people could help you, not even like 1 or 2 days. Even if you could get a part-time job, they could just help you a couple days a week. That would make a couple of days that your wife could stay home and build a bond. But like, why was that never an option? And I think that's what questions me about him. I feel like he's using her to get a free ride, right? Like, and when he got there, he was like, I'm really relieved, you know, to get here. I think this is a new chapter for me. And I was like, this is the same chapter. You weren't working there and you're not working here. Like, this is the same chapter.
My kids had two sets of grandparents, and I had enough friends that my kids were never in daycare, ever. I always had someone that could help me with my kids. I've helped so many of my friends. I've helped so many of my relatives. Yeah, I'll take your kid. If I'm off that day, you bet. I got it. And you don't have to give me a dime.
I mean, it takes a village, right? And I remember when I was in middle school, there were kids that their parents didn't have cars. Or one of the girls, her mom was disabled. So it was kind of on the way, but we would go pick up people. My mom would go pick up people and get them to school. After school, she would drop people off. Sometimes it wasn't along the way, but she would still do it because it takes a village to do this. So the idea that he thinks that he can just stay home and he's the only one that can do it. Well, Joda's right. Is she a workaholic? Absolutely.
Yeah.
She definitely is 150,000% a workaholic. I believe that. To buy a house in Los Angeles, she's a workaholic.
Yep.
Because it's you need a minimum of $1 million to buy a shack in Los Angeles. So absolutely, she was working way too many hours. She put work over everything, and that's 100% real. She could have made time, right? Yeah. She could have, what's the word, compromised money for time. But no, she is a workaholic. And, you know, I don't blame people. In this day and age, you know, being a workaholic sometimes is the difference between you being homeless and not.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, if you don't have that work mindset, I think sometimes that's really gonna hurt you. You have to want to make the money, because it's so easy to say, oh, I can't do it, I'm busy, or it's too hard, that place is too far away, daycare is too expensive. There's always an excuse that you can use to not go to work, but the landlord or your mortgage company doesn't accept those as payment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they don't care that the place is too far for you to drive, or daycare costs $2,000. Their mortgage company could care less. They just know that you owe them this amount of money on this day. That's all they care about.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's so sad to me that he's looking at it that way. It's so sad to me that she had to uproot her life. Like, I don't feel like they're going to have the same lifestyle in the UK that they had here.
Well, no, she's not going to be able to make the money she made in LA in the UK. She's not. And because a lot of the money came from modeling, and she made it clear that, you know, over there, they're a lot more closed-minded when it comes to how models are supposed to look. You know, right. America was like that 30 years ago, too. Yeah. Progression takes time, right? Progression takes time. We've moved past it. France has not. And, you know, a lot of high-end fashion and a lot of the designers and the fashion shows happen right over there. So they're, it started there. So they're more set in their ways. So they think beauty is supposed to look a certain way. They're the people who put the anorexic girls in the magazines, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. They're not going to make it either, which is going to be really sad, because that means that kid's going to get separated from the parents either way, because one's staying in a different country.
Well, that was, yeah, I noticed it too, because when I saw her in the airport and she was all sad, and I was like, you're packing up your problems and you're taking them across the world with you. I was like, your issues are sitting next to you on that cart. Yeah. It's your husband. And yep. Sarah tried to tell her, she was like, you don't need to get on a plane or go to another country or cross state lines to fix anything. Your issue is him. Anthony is your issue. And until you can fix that issue, nothing is ever going to make you happy. Because if you're the only one that's dedicated to taking care of this family, you're always going to feel overwhelmed. Yep. Always. And unfortunately, that innocent little boy is in the middle. And unfortunately, you know, that's going to be the reason why they can't make this work. Because somebody has to take care of that boy. Somebody has to. And the husband thinks that that's the only thing he has to do. Yeah. There's a lot of single mothers who do both, right? So, Anthony, I'm not calling you out, right? I'm not calling Anthony out, but there's a lot of single mothers who do both. They raise those babies perfectly healthy and fine, and they take their butts to work, and it works perfectly fine. So, Anthony, I hate to say this, but you are the one that's not pulling the weight. So to call her a part-time mom or whatever he said, disrespectful. Yep. Who raised that man to talk to people like that? Like, my mom would have slapped me in the face if I said that to a woman.
Absolutely.
That is so disrespectful to say. A woman that works.
I have no respect for him. I haven't had respect for him from the jump.
Yeah, I can't stand him. So I want to talk about a little bit of Seek and Sister Wife, because there's a guy on there named Reese. And Carl, you know, Carl, look, I don't care about nobody's gender or sexuality or orientation. Nothing. I don't care. Like, honestly, do not care. But he's clearly not straight, right?
100%.
What's going on? Because not only is he married, but he's looking for an additional woman. What's happening?
Because he likes the boobies?
This is confusing as hell to me because there's literally nothing wrong with being gay. So what's really odd to me is he's clearly, even his wife described him as flamboyant. Yeah. That word is usually pretty generalized to describing a gay man, right? Absolutely. That's usually what that word is used for. So even his wife, and even she and his best friend, they both said, they're like, yeah, her dad, his wife said, my dad thought he was gay. The best friend was like, oh yeah, definitely, I thought you were gay. Everyone can see it, but no one is reacting to it. And that's what's really confusing for me. What's going on?
Also, why are all the men on this show so ick? What the hell? There's multiple women that want to be with these men. First of all, Reese, this guy is lucky he got one woman. He's going to make the waitress blush. He made her throw up in her mouth. That's all that happened. That was gross.
What's funny, when he touched her, she probably would have called the police if he didn't seem gay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't be touching women in restaurants. You will get arrested. Yeah. But I was like, she didn't react because she got the vibe that he was gay. So she's like, totally fine. Then when he was like, do you want to come home? She was like, She was like, now I have to call the police, right? Yeah. She was like, what is happening? But it was even that confusing for the waitress, because she was like, why would you be looking for a sister wife when you're gay? You know, like, what is happening?
Literally.
And at the end of the day, he is what he is, and it doesn't matter. But it's really confusing, because now he's involving all these different women in this. Yeah. And did you notice they discussed that he said he didn't like having sex?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I don't have any, like, drive or anything, and I was like, well, maybe you do, just not for her.
Yeah, it's just the wrong gender, that's all.
And do you think it's like some sort of suppressed denial? Like, because
absolutely, I mean, I mean, maybe he's bisexual, which who cares? Who
cares? Literally don't get right.
Maybe you need to look for a sister husband. Who knows? Get a pair. Do the polyamory where you have multiple partners.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so usually many
usually people, if they don't want you to think that they're gay, they act very masculine. Yes. And I think what's really confusing for me is he acts flamboyant, but denies it. And I was like, well, usually the denial is you'll act really masculine. You'll do manly things. You'll go to the gun range. You'll work on your truck. You know, there's different things that you will do to deflect from people to think that. But he even, his mannerisms, the way he talks, he doesn't hide it in any way. But he also doesn't accept it. And this is probably the most confusing thing I've seen in a long time, because it's almost like he knows it, his wife knows it, everybody knows it, but nobody talks about it. So what? I don't get it.
I just don't understand. I mean, first of all, good luck trying to find another woman. Like, the fact that you have one blows my mind. But trying to find
another one.
Yeah, trying to find another one, there is literally nobody on this planet that's gonna be like, man, he's hot. I try very hard to never dog on someone's appearance, and it's not that he's ugly. None of the people on here are actually like ugly. They just give me the ick, all of the ick. They're just gross. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a vibe being put off from these people that is ick. And it's the men. It's the men that are the ick. Garrick is ick. Reed is ick. Like, there's so many ick.
They all give a different vibe. Right. And I don't know what it is about the women that are into that, you know, and the Garrick, the Merrifields, they're like pushing 10 years of trying to find a sister wife. Right. Because I think we're on season 6. They've been on since the beginning. They've been doing this almost a decade and they haven't successfully got a woman to stay. So they got.
But also what I don't understand is why you have to find someone in a different country.
Well, yeah, he only looks, it seems like, in Brazil. That's
literally complaining about the tens of thousands of dollars you spent on all these failed relationships, but there's women in America. You married an American woman.
I don't understand. Well, they got one to come back to the house, and Lorena, I think
it's a trap. I think that's why he's doing it, because he feels like if he brings them from another country, they can't just run away. If you bring somebody from the next state over, boom, they're gone. As soon as they realize how cuckoo ca-choo you are, they're out. Like,
I don't understand. They've been on for the longest, and they've brought on so many different women, and they all run away.
Also, I didn't realize you can just run somebody out to the lake and baptize them.
Well, I think you can do whatever you want, right?
Yeah, but I can just take you out and dip you in the water and be like, Allah, there you go. We're done. I just don't understand how it happens.
I don't know. This is going to be an interesting season, though, because when Reese came on and I was like, oh, they starting off strong. Because I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was like, honestly, this is wild. I was like, and this show is already crazy, but the fact that he came on and I was just like, well, the first thing I tweeted was, y'all are seeing this, right? Like, it's not just me. Like, I need a little, like, I need somebody to tell me that they see what I see, because I don't want to be the first one to say it. Yeah. But I was like, and then when he was like, yeah, we don't really have sex and I'm not really into that. And I was like, really? And the wife was like, yeah, we don't have sex. And I was like, obviously, he's not having sex with you. He's probably having sex with other people, but it's not you. And I was like, why don't y'all just admit what's going on? That's what's confusing to me, because it's so beyond obvious. And it's like, it's so much easier to live as your true self and not pretend, right? Like, and she clearly has to know. And, you know, he said he was in show choir. That's what Glee was about, right? The show Glee, that was show choir. So all of the signs were there. Like,
his whole life. All the pictures from being little to now.
I'm just so confused. Yes, Shake, the guy, Reese. Well, he says he's totally straight. And
yeah,
he's looking for a second wife. And I just don't know. I just don't know what's happening with that. Like, it's very confusing because he doesn't try to hide it, like, in his mannerisms, but he tries to hide it otherwise. Nothing leaves me speechless, but that scene tonight, I was just like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't know how to explain this. And I don't want to sound mean because literally I don't care. Like, if
his wife is pretty and she seems relatively normal, aside from, you know, a house full of chickens, but like, she seems relatively normal. I guess she's wanting a sister wife so she doesn't feel so lonely. I understand. Yeah,
it did sound like it was more so what she wanted than what he wanted. Because she's like, it will be good for me emotionally when he's not there. They'll be there with me. They can help me. And I was like, well, it definitely sounds more like something that she wants.
Sounds more like looking for a nanny, to be honest.
Well, when it comes to Garrick wants to bang them.
But I'm talking about Reese's wife. I think Reese's wife is more so looking for a nanny. She wants someone to help her with the kids, help her around the house. She knows her husband doesn't want to have sex, so it's kind of like either a live-in nanny or a bestie that lives there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, she's got a gay bestie right there in the house. Yeah. You know?
Absolutely.
He don't want to admit that. But again, I want to make sure I make it clear. We don't care. Yeah. Gay, straight, bi, trans. We literally don't care. But, like, it's weird to me that in 2025, anybody's not living their truth because we are happy regardless what you decide. So, like, it's just, I don't know, it just got weird when they want to bring another woman into this. I was like, y'all need to figure this out before you bring anybody else in, because there's shit that needs to be figured out here.
Yeah, right? So much.
So, yeah, we'll be talking more about that. So the other way is back down to an hour, which was pretty manageable. I like the hour. So we get the other way and then Seeking Sister Wife, which is going to, I feel like it's going to be a good season. And then we'll be back next week for...
Are we going to do a pop-up surprise podcast on Friday?
Oh, what's happening? Oh, yeah, we're going to do something for Diaries. There's a huge announcement. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys know, but my co-host...
We're not going to talk about all of it.
No. So, Kara, my co-host, will be making her debut on Diaries. So, on Friday. So make sure you guys tune in. There's a huge, and actually the whole thing that she's a part of is going to be new for everyone. So everyone's going to be very surprised at this, this episode. We're not going to get into any of the details of it, but Friday, which is the new night, Diaries used to come on Mondays, but now it comes on Fridays and Kara will be making her debut. We're not going to get into any of the, who she's with or none of that. We'll let you all see it, but we'll do a fun little pop-up live so we can react to that after you guys see it. I'm super proud of Kara. She's been talking about the show and now she's on the show. So that is...
It's just one episode. Let's be real. I'm only going to be in one episode. It'll probably just be little snippets here and there. I have no idea what all is going to be shown.
Well, we'll find out together. I'm very excited. We'll have like a fun little live watch party. We'll talk about it and we'll get everyone's reaction. And yes, so yeah, we can't talk about too much, but Friday, make plans. Friday night when Diaries comes on, you will see Carl on your TV screens all across America. Yes. All right, guys. I'm excited too. This is crazy. I feel like you're living the show. Like, we talk about the show, but you're
living. Need them to let me host the tell-alls now.
See, you're already in. You're technically a contractor now.
I know, but we already know that they're going to shoot me down as soon as I tell them we're a package deal.
Oh, well, I don't know if they want me. I would go. I would totally go. I would cause a lot of problems.
I'm not going without you.
I would cause problems. I am
not going without you. We would be the best host.
What's the way to say it? I don't follow the rules. So I'm pretty sure they would... Whatever they tell me not to say, I'll wait until the camera's rolling and then I'll say it. So I know that there'll be a problem. I already know they're not going to like me because I'll be like, oh yeah, we won't talk about that. Then as soon as we go live, the first question I ask is exactly what we're not going to talk about, because that's what people want. So,
yes.
Oh, wait. Does anyone think that Gino and Jasmine have struck some financial deal? Yes, they have. Okay. Yeah, they have. They've been broken up for over 2 years. So, yeah, that's a very accurate statement. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up. It's getting late. Everybody, thank you for staying up and watching and joining us for the live. Thank you to Cara. Don't forget Friday. Cara will be making her debut One Night at Diaries. And we will do a fun little live to talk about it. And everybody have a wonderful week. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.